Let us pray.
Как сами.
Father, we are so very glad for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Сам Señor, oramos salvo a Jesus Cristo.
We are so very glad that you are orchestrating our lives. Arranging every detail. Arranging every set of circumstances. That we might all come to the knowledge of the truth. That we might know the heart of God in that which is in your mind. Father, I call on that blood this morning. I ask that it touch my physical body. I ask that it touch my soul, my mind, my emotions, my desires, my God, that my will might be submitted to the desire and the word of God this morning. Father, I pray for this congregation of people that they not hear with a natural ear, but as it is admonished to the church in Revelation, that we might hear as the Spirit would speak and that we might have that understanding. Praise the Lord. So we submit ourselves to you this morning. We invoke the blood of Jesus Christ. My God, let your presence be preeminent in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm very, very glad to be here this morning. I believe I'm here by divine appointment. I believe that you are here by divine appointment. I am finding that we are coming into the end of time, to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before that can happen, the Bible says that he must come back for a church without spot or without wrinkle. So that means that there is a measure of perfection that God is looking for. As far as humanity is concerned. If I go too fast for you, just pull on my shirt tail, will you? And there is a word that God is bringing to those who have an eye to hear. I should say an eye to see and an ear to hear. Because God is looking for that eye, he is looking for that ear. There is a lot of religion in the world. There's a lot of churches in the world. And I have covered a lot of territory in the last 30 years, 40 years, going to many different places in the world. And the church does not have the strength. The church does not have the power to overcome the darkness. And if you look at the church in many places in the world, the church is becoming like the world. Their structure, their organization, the way that they do things, the committees that they have, the entertainment that they are bringing in. There is not much difference in this hour between the church and the world. That was not the intention of God from the beginning. Did you hear me? That was not the intention of God from the beginning. Hallelujah. In fact, the church, the in the beginning, God did not desire a church. He did not want an organization. What it was that God wanted was a body. Did you hear me? God wants a body of which he can be the head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you're probably going to hear some things this morning that seem a bit strange. Maybe it will aggravate you, maybe it will irritate you, or maybe it will bless you. What I would encourage you to do is to take what is being spoken, get into the scriptures. You have a responsibility. You, as a people of God, have a responsibility. And that responsibility is that each and every one of you has to hear from God individually. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Because there are circumstances or situations that are coming upon the earth where you will need to be able to know the reality of God individually, because you will not have the opportunity to call pastor or to call this one or to call that one. You have to be able to hear from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So one of the things that I am bringing to you, one of the things, is the need that you have to have a personal, viable, living, walking, talking relationship with a living God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says in one of the books of Thessalonians that in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. That means many people are going to be turning their backs upon God, renouncing the reality of God for one reason or another. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have been in many countries, and probably you have some experience with it in this country, when persecution arises, murder and mayhem and all of the atrocities that the devil can work on humanity through humanity. Hallelujah. Many recant. Many turn away. Hallelujah. My question to you, is your reality of Jesus Christ great enough? In the midst of that reality of tribulation, to give you the strength to stand fast and not recant or renounce the reality of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a woman by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. And she was a Dutch by nature, by nationality, and she was a young lady in her teens when the Germans came into Holland. And her family decided that they would begin to help the Jews escape. And so they made what we would call an underground railroad to transport these people out of Holland. And in the course of time, they were discovered. And the Germans came in and arrested their family. And out of, and they split the family. They sent part of it off to some concentration camp. She never saw them again. But her and her sister were arrested and put into the same prison camp. And she has a tremendous testimony of how God saved her and how God used her after that experience to travel all over the world. And I believe she even came here to Uganda. And I believe that she lived here for a period of 2 years. If it isn't Uganda, it's someplace here in Africa that she came. And one of the things that the Lord was telling her to do was to go to the different denominations and to prepare them for the coming tribulation. Because the church isn't ready to be persecuted. The church is not ready to be persecuted. Have you ever heard of a man called Watchman Nee? Watchman Nee was a very intelligent man. He was Chinese, and he lived in China, and he was a church leader of one of the major denominations. And you know, the church at that time had a doctrine called rapture, a doctrine which the church now holds. And that doctrine says that you don't have to worry about tribulation, because you are going to be raptured out of the tribulation. That's what the doctrine says.
Excuse me. A little bit.
Okay, thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this was a doctrine that he believed. And this is a doctrine that he was teaching. But he did not count on the communists rising up in China. And when the Chinese, when the communists rose up in China, they begin to slaughter the church. Did you hear me? They begin to slaughter the church. And the only thing that would save you, your life or your family's life, is if you would recant of your position and your belief in a living God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, many of the church left the faith. They smuggled Watchman Nee out. They managed to smuggle him out of the country. And he was put up in Hong Kong. But the cry of the church in its place of suffering and persecution and in the accusation that was coming, they were saying, "Where is our deliverance? Where is our position of relief?" Hallelujah. They were not ready. The Bible says that a great tribulation, such as the world has never ever known, is coming upon the world. Hallelujah.
Mm.
And it is for the sake of that tribulation that God is bringing a word to his people. It is a word that is to strengthen them. It is a word to encourage them. And it is a word to challenge them. Hallelujah. You know, I did not come thinking what I'm going to preach to you. I'm not that kind of preacher. God told me when he called me, he said, you go, you open your mouth, and I will fill it. Hallelujah. So the word that I'm bringing to you is a special word for you as a people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand that there is a word that God is loosing in this hour. Preaching, if it's an anointed, is not just words of a vocabulary or a particular language. It's like prophecy. Prophecy is not words. Prophecy is a thought or an intent that is in God concerning you. Hallelujah. And when that prophecy is spoken, it releases an energy of God into the environment in which it is spoken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible said that no word of God goes out and does not return to him with the fruit of why it was sent. Did you hear me? That's in Isaiah. And it is the same word that the angel Gabriel brought to Mary. Did you hear me?
Yes.
And I want you to understand the power that that word has. Hallelujah. Mary could not believe what it was the angel was saying until the angel began to tell her the thought and the intent of God for her. When she heard the reality of it, it created the ability for her to believe. And when she believed, she conceived. Hallelujah. I would ask you, is that just something that happened for the sake of Mary? Or was it something that God did to demonstrate the reality of the word that we hear that is spoken under the power of the anointing? Hallelujah. When I was a sinner, and I was a very big sinner, and I was helpless in my sin, and many times many people came to me and they told me I was going to hell, that I needed to be born again, but it did nothing for my sin. I kept sinning. But one day, one man with the same word spoke something to me that was in the spirit. And when I heard what he said, it gave me the ability to believe in God. And I conceived and I was born again. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah. Church has become a tradition. Church has become a ritual. Church should not be something you do. You go, you join yourself together. You come in, you sing your songs, You do your meeting. You shake hands afterward. Hallelujah. You go home. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Hallelujah. Church should be an experience of change. Did you hear me? It should go down in the depths of your soul. Hallelujah. And illuminate your darkness. Hallelujah. And in that illumination of light, my God, you receive something from God that changes you. Hallelujah. My God.
Amen.
There was a woman who lived in Hungary. She lived in Hungary under the communists. And she was a woman that had a particular affliction. Her and her husband were Christians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they were worshiping God in their home. And she wanted to do something. But the problem was she was paralyzed from tip of her head to the tip of her toes. The only movement she has was with her hands and her fingers. Two fingers. Her husband would set an old typewriter on her chest. Hallelujah. And she would painstakingly type out portions of scriptures. Day in, day out. You know, and can you imagine? Week in, week out, month after month, year after year, seemingly doing the same thing. Can you imagine wanting to be able to spread the news of Jesus Christ? To be able to walk down the street, to be able to fellowship with different individuals in freedom of movement year in, year out. And her husband faithfully ministering to her, taking care of her, encouraging him year in, year out. Hallelujah. Many times she wanted to give up. Many times saying, I'm not doing enough. I want to do more, but I can't. One day she died. Hallelujah. And they planned a little funeral because they did not have a widespread acquaintance. They had no family to speak of, so they didn't really expect too much to be happening at the funeral. But somehow that word of her dying and her passing began to go out. And as they were there at the graveyard, people started coming in from all over. All over. And the crowd began to grow and grow. And every one of them had a little slip of paper in their hand that had a portion of scripture. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Do you understand the point? Not thinking she's doing much, her circumstances doesn't change. But she's changing in spite of her circumstances. She's overcoming her circumstances. Her life, her two little fingers of typing reached out and touched hundreds of people, many receiving God because of her effort and her position, her place of steadfastness. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, brethren, we think that we need to change our environment in order to do better.
Let me get time to explain that one.
Alright.
Olusi, oyinza okulowooza nti wetaaga okukyusa embeera yo okoyinza okukyusa abantu bangi naye nga si bwe kiri.
Hallelujah. God's not interested in changing your environment. Did you hear me? God's not interested in changing your environment. God is interested in changing you. In spite of your environment. Hallelujah. My environment should not have the authority over me to dictate to me what I should do and what I don't do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I could have stayed home this morning. My body is telling me you need rest. My head is telling me I hurt. I want to sleep. Hallelujah. But I did not come to rest. I did not come to sleep. Hallelujah. I had a divine appointment this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, God says to me, I want you to go over there. And I say to God, I could say to God, I don't have any money. I don't have any money. Am I going to allow the fact that I don't have any money to stop me from doing what God has told me to do? Hallelujah! Hallelujah. I'm not going to let my environment rule over the will of God for my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, some of you are living in some very tough circumstances. Hallelujah. I have been coming to Africa for almost 40 years. Did you hear me? I know the poverty. I know the sickness. I know the careless attitude. I know the survival of the fittest mentality. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. God knew of your environment. God knew of your poverty. God knew of your sickness. God knew of your destitution. Hallelujah. But that did not stop God from bringing the blood that you might be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only that, I know the darkness, the spiritual darkness, the witchcraft, the things that are done in secret. Hallelujah. The murder, and the bloodlust, and the perversion, all of that darkness on you as a people. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. But it could not stop God. Did you hear me? Could not stop God. Hallelujah. From sending the light into your life. Hallelujah. The first miracle that you or I ever had is when we were delivered Can you say amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My God. You know, I come from a long generation of sin and degradation. I have thieves in my family tree. I have liars in my family tree. I have murderers in my family tree. I have adultery in my family tree. I have fornication and sin and perversion in my family tree. I am born in the generation of sin upon sin upon sin. Buried, do you hear me? Under that darkness, what hope? What position or restoration, chance of restoration? Look up, Akandaya. And in spite of all of that, God spoke a word, and that word was, "Let there be light." And that light, that light went down into the very depths of hell. Do you hear me? The lying couldn't stop it. The murder couldn't stop it. The stealing couldn't stop it. The perversion couldn't stop it. Hallelujah. And it created a kingdom of righteousness. Did you hear me? It created a kingdom of righteousness in the midst of that darkness. Hallelujah. You know, the church tells me, hallelujah, that I am born again, that I might somehow, some way, make it through to the end of my days. And if I am considered worthy enough, get into heaven. Hallelujah. That's contrary to Bible teaching. That's contrary to the concept or the thought in God's mind. Hallelujah. Why would I want to be trying to get into heaven, brother, when heaven has already come down inside of me? Did you hear me? Where is the kingdom of God? Is it out here in a physical sense? Or is it in here? In the reality? Yes. Hallelujah.
Give me a time, your time.
Sure. Take all the time you need.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay. We ready? Turn with me to the scripture. I'm going to show you that it's not my thinking, it's God's thinking. Genesis chapter 1. Do you believe that God is the same today?
as he was yesterday, and he will be the same tomorrow. You believe that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let us read what God desired from the beginning. And it says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Hallelujah. I want to go. Let me go back up to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Hello? Hallelujah. Do you have a... All right, what does your Bible say?
Katonda nayogera nti tukole omuntu.
Does it say in his image?
Yeah.
And into his likeness?
Mungeri ye, mukifananyi kye. Bible yamwe bwegamba. Eno bwegambye.
And the way that you translate the word likeness, what does it mean? Tell me.
Mungeri. Likeness is like.
To be the same as.
The same as, yeah.
So, your Bible and my Bible agree. That you and I are supposed to be perfect. Are you there? We are supposed to be perfect. Hallelujah. So, well, what happened? What went wrong? What happened? Somewhere along the line, did God change his mind? Do you believe?
Yes.
That what God intended in the beginning is what God wants at the end of the day.
Huh?
Yes. You know, when it talks about Noah, and in Hebrews, I believe it's the 11th or the 12th chapter, it says of Noah that Noah was perfect in his generation. There are levels or standards of perfection for each generation. In the development of God's plan for humanity in what it was he wanted in the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know something? The devil's very clever. The devil decided that he could not overcome you as a Christian. So he decided to join the church. Did you know that the church, that the devil belongs to the church? My Bible says that he shall come as an angel of what? Light. That means that he's going to be coming looking like God. So, and no, you know, the devil was there when God did all of this. You understand? He was there. He was watching. And he knew that what God was giving man was something that he did not possess. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
The devil could never step into man's shoes unless he could get man's shoes by the right of conquest. So he had to invent a different gospel. Hallelujah. Hello, are you there? The devil had to invent a different gospel. And so, and the gospel that he came with is, we see it in Genesis chapter 3. Now, there's something that you have to understand about this Bible. The situations and the circumstances in the Bible, although they are natural circumstances with natural people in natural circumstances and situations of environment, they are spiritual in nature and they are describing something on a higher level with a larger understanding and wisdom that is involved in it. Hallelujah. Paul told us in one of the books he wrote in Corinthians, I believe, he says, first the natural, then the spiritual, and then he went on to say in another place that the relationship of Abraham with Hagar was a symbolic relationship that represented man working in the humanity and flesh with the world. It says that one generates life and liberty, which is Abraham and Sarah with Isaac. The other generates bondage. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Abraham, Hagar and Ishmael. Though Though natural, it has a spiritual significance. And we find the devil starting his own church in the very beginning.
Sorry?
We find the devil starting his own church in the very beginning. Hallelujah. Now, you know, the woman, she did not know any different. She was an innocent. She was a victim. Hallelujah. Of her circumstances. And what she heard the devil speaking evidently made some sort of sense and reason to her for her to submit to the will of the devil. Hallelujah. And you know something? The devil did not wander too far from the truth. He just took the truth and he twisted it a little bit. And in the twisting of it, it would provoke an action in the woman that would separate her from God. Hallelujah. It's called the spirit of deception. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there are certain truths that I have a reality of. Because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And you could never, I hope, shake me or make me believe something other than what it is I know to be God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there are other things in my life, in my experience of living that I do not have that same reality. So where I would stand firm with one, I might be kind of vacillating with the other. Hallelujah. And the only thing that is going to create for me a position of safety is in my position of personal relationship with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll give it to you in a natural sense. I know Brother Chijoki for many, many, many years. And we have had fellowship over the years and built a relationship. There's a confidence and a trust that I have in him. And I trust that it's vice versa. And if somebody would come to me and they would say to me, "You know what Brother Choke said about you? He said so and so and so and so and so and so. And it could be very bad. But you know, I know the brother." My first reaction, he said, "He never said that. He never said that." And they would say, "Well, why do you think he would not say that?" And I can say, "Because I know him." I know him. The indictment in the New Testament against the New Testament church was an indictment that says, "I do not know you."
Hello?
Do you remember the man, the scripture?
He
says, "Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not heal? Did we not heal the sick? Did I not pay my tithe? Was I not faithful to feed the poor? Did I not do all the things that church is supposed to do?"
But
nevertheless, "I do not know you." And he didn't say, "Depart from me, you wayward, backslidden Christian." He said, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." He's talking about the New Testament church. That's a New Testament church. Hallelujah. And the fact of the matter is, the New Testament church does all of those things, but they forget the principal thing, and that is to know God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was a rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus. And he wanted something. He wanted the fullness of God. Did you hear me? He wanted the fullness of God. Now, All of his life he had been instructed and to behave in a certain manner. And I believe that he wasn't doing it as ritual. He was doing it because he loved God. But he didn't love God quite enough. Jesus said to him, well, if you want to be perfect, honor your father and your mother, do this, do that. And the man said, I have done all of these things from my youth up until now. And it was true. How do we know that it was true? Because the Lord did not correct him. What he said was, one thing you lack. One thing. One thing you lack to be perfect. Give all that you have. Come and walk in my footsteps. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man in our image and let him have dominion. What does your Bible say for dominion? What does that mean?
To reign.
Huh?
Rule.
To rule.
To rule, to subdue.
Yeah, well, the subdue and dominion, you have to subdue it in order to have dominion.
Okay.
There was a dominion that was granted to them. It says, over dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all of the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Hallelujah. Now God is not just a man of words, a God of words, but he has something of an endowment that he gave to man. Because it said, and God blessed them. It's not like me coming up and saying, well, brother, God bless you. It's like a salutation or a hello or a goodbye. It is an impartation. Out of God comes God. Hallelujah. And you know, I should have the same power. I lay my hands on this brother and I say, God bless you. Hallelujah. And there should be something of God coming out of me, my God, that goes into his physical body as well into the spirit of his being. Bless him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But if I don't believe it, what happens? Nothing. It becomes traditional. It becomes something that is ritualistic. It's something we say because we are Christians. We don't have the reality of what it is in us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need that reality. You need that reality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need to have the dominion. And it's not that you don't have the dominion. You just don't realize the reality of the dominion that you have. Hallelujah. And so it says that God blessed him, and God said unto him, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do I put this? The Bible says that we are to love our father and our mothers. And we take it and we love them, and then we build shrines to them.
Sorry?
We take it, we take the word, we love them, and then when they die, we build shrines to them. It's called ancestral worship. Did you hear me? Do you know about ancestral worship? Huh? I think, yeah, you probably know about it, don't you?
Yeah.
If you don't know about it, this will be the only African country I've ever been in that didn't practice it. Bible says, let the dead bury the dead. God says, I am the God of the living, not of the dead. Everything is so wrapped up into Christianity. It's all been incorporated. One of the things that the Catholic Church does was to make everything religious. You know, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. The first and great commandment is that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our might, with all of our mind. Hallelujah. You know, I love my mom and my dad. They were very good to me. Both of them made it into heaven. They both got born again. But you know, I don't even know where they're buried. And you know what? Something else. I never even attended my dad's funeral. Boy, I wonder what would happen if some of you didn't attend your mother or your father's funeral. You see, my mom is not dead. My father is not dead. They're here with me. We are surrounded by a great host. A great cloud of witnesses. Hello? Are you there?
Amen.
Why would I want to celebrate the dead? Why would I want to give credence to a lie? Why would I want the devil to have a handle to bring me into a place of bondage? You know, we're dealing with serious business, you know. You're dealing with eternity and the reality of it. This environment is not the real thing. We have heaven and hell all around us. We have heaven and hell inside of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God wants the heaven inside of you to push the hell that is inside of you out of you. And begin to invade your physical environment. Hallelujah. Peter was in a prison. The saints were praying. I don't know what their attitude was, but they must not believe what they were praying. Because when God answered their prayer, they didn't believe it. He said, the little girl said, Peter's at the door. And they say, he's in prison. He can't be at the door, he's in prison. Brethren, these experiences, these stories in the Bible, are they just historical, biblical, Christian facts? Is that all they are? Are there nothing else in the reality of it? Hallelujah. Amen. If that is what it is, we just need to throw it away. Because it's no better than any other history book. It's past. It's finished. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But this is supposed to be a living book. A living book. It is supposed to be so living that it is supposed to become flesh and walk in the midst of humanity. Hello. Hallelujah. Now somebody believes it. Praise the Lord. John chapter 1 said that the Word was made flesh. That's Jesus' flesh. That's not our flesh. Oh, give me a break. If we are to be called sons of God, then as the Son was, and as the Son is, so shall we also be like unto Him.
Loose!
Hallelujah! It's time for the people of God to rise up in the reality of the strength of truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in order for that to happen, we must die. We are to be buried with him in baptism, like unto his death.
Amen.
That like as Christ was buried, so shall we raise. Praise! In a newness of life. Newness in my mind. I'm no longer thinking like an Asbel. I no longer think like an American. Hello? Hallelujah. But I think like my father thinks. Hallelujah. And I think like the kingdom in which I have now been translated into. Hallelujah. I can no longer have the emotions of my mother or my father. I can no longer have the emotions of my grandfathers or my grandmothers. Because I have been born again. Born out of, I've been born out of Asbel. And I've been born into God. And I now have the soul of God inside of me that I have to nurture, that I have to encourage, that I have to resist the soul of my Adam nature. So I say, God, change me. And God sends the fire down on top of me. Lose me. Lose me. Do you hear me? I was in Nairobi Airport. And you know, it had been a long day. It had been a long 2 days. That I had been traveling. And it came time to load the plane. And we loaded and we got on the plane. But there was something wrong with the plane. They kept crawling up on the wing out there looking at something. And then they would get down and they'd go and they would start the thing. And then they would stop it and they'd get out and they'd go out and look at the wing again. You know, I thank God for his mercy. The devil has tried to kill me a lot of times. You know, and he doesn't seem to be able to do it. Sometimes he almost succeeded, but he hasn't been able to do it. Hallelujah. And so finally the pilot, he comes on the radio and he says, I'm very sorry, but we have a mechanical difficulty and we're going to have another plane. And I could say praise God for the another plane. It was a little more difficult to say praise God for the next 3 hours that we were sitting in the airport waiting for that plane. Fire. You're tired. Been traveling a long time. Hungry. They don't feed you sometimes. You know. Thirsty. Hallelujah. And you can see the tempers in the people, in the passengers, beginning to flare and beginning to get agitated. Hallelujah. It was such a spiritual experience. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Fire. That one is not too difficult. But you say, God, send the fire and change me. And sickness hits your body. Huh? Hallelujah. And we say we're sick. It's my flesh. We don't necessarily look at it as the fire. We don't look at it as God sending the fire. Hallelujah. We need to change our perspective. We need to understand the spiritual reality of the circumstances of our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me finish up here. So this word is to be made flesh. I want to go to John. Finish reading up there. Hallelujah. John chapter 1. Alright. If it talks about John coming prior to the first part of the chapter, it talks about John coming to bear witness of the light. Verse 5, we already covered that. Darkness in the darkness comprehended it not. And then it says in verse 8, John, he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was made by... He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. There's many things I could say about this, but I want to close it up. But verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hallelujah. Mm. The primary purpose of the blood of Jesus Christ is not that you just be born again so that you can make it into heaven. But it's number one objective. The number one thing that it is designated to do and has the power to do or give you the ability to do it is to make you like Jesus Christ. Now. God bless you. Amen.